ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Monday, November 19th, 2018. The international break is still upon us, and we're going to talk about Canada facing St. Kitts and Nevis. So apparently there's cats in St. Kitts and Nevis, Dwayne.
I mean, welcome to Conquer Cat, if you prefer. I stole that from Kevin in the off air, but look, you're playing in small nations. This was a cow patch they were playing on, basically. That's normally a cricket field. I mean, you know,
To be fair, it's next to the cricket field, but it's close. It's one next to each other in Bastia, but yes, it's not the best looking pitch we've seen like this year.
Yeah, well, and look, in fairness to them too, the cricket field's probably nicer because they prefer cricket. That's their sport down there. So yeah, I was saying this to people out there. There are some dissenting voices out there that are really upset about the fact that it was 1-0, that Kyle Lauren missed another relatively easy chance, which is an odd little psychological thing that we have going on. Yeah. That they only scored the one goal. I mean, Alphonso Davies had at least two or three opportunities to add to the scoreline. Great goalkeeping by the St. Kitts and Nevis guy there. Forgive me, I don't know his name off the top of my head. But
Me neither. And Tabla had a few chances too. Ballou had a few chances. Junior Hoilette had a couple one. Jonathan David late in the game had an amazing shot saved by the keeper too. So this could have been 3-4 nothing. But it's 1-0 on the road in CONCACAF. And in a place where it was hostile, not with the environment, but with the playing environment. So the field. And St. Kitts and Nevis were trying hard. They were fouling Canada. You know what I was thinking about when I was watching the game? Like, rarely do I see a game in CONCACAF away where the ref just calls the fouls like he sees them, and it was mostly the advantage of Canada.
Yeah, well, they're the better team. And look, I'm not going to sit here and argue that St. Kitts and Nevis is at the same level as Canada. Canada has fully professional players playing in big leagues. This would have been the case even a few years ago, but it's especially the case now. But it is a Caribbean team that has been playing quite well. They hadn't allowed a goal in this thing until Canada scored, until Atiba's goal, and wasn't it nice to see the old guy get one up there again to get another goal in his career?
His seventh international goal for Canada in his 80th cap. Yesterday was his 80th apparition for Canada.
Should have been eight. Should be eight.
Should be eight. He was onside. He was onside.
Yeah. He was, nonetheless. That's a decade ago now, man. Anyway, look, as I said to online on the social media today, it's the bottom line is the bottom line. Canada is 3-0-0, a draw against French Guiana. And is it Guyana or French Guiana? They play next to one of the two. The Guyana derby.
French Guiana.
Yeah, so French Guiana, who is currently sitting, just scrolling here to find them.
You need to scroll a long time because I didn't find them in the picture that I had. So.
Yeah, they're 20th. They have one win in this thing. So this should not be that challenging in a game to get a draw at home, and a draw will assure them of a spot in Group A. They're all but assured of a spot in the Gold Cup. We were never particularly worried about that. It would take something truly remarkable for that to not happen. In fact, I'll tell you really quickly what it would take. You would have to have basically they'd have to lose. There'd have to be a goal differential of 10 turned around basically between the teams that are just on the bubble. So they would have to lose badly and have like Belize or El Salvador win strongly. So it's not, they're going to the Gold Cup, and that shouldn't have been a shock, but that's a good thing to make sure that they got that clinched. I mean, I guess this is the first time that it's been a long time that it's been at issue, and I like the fact that it is. But get cats off to St. Kitts and Nevis, because they have, as I said, this is a team, a nation for getting to that Gold Cup. It would be a remarkable accomplishment for them. They currently are standing in position to do just that. They gave Canada, you know, they played a little rough and tumble, as you say. They played organized, is the polite way to say it, and they didn't really cause much problems to Canada. But to only lose 1-0 against a team that is much better than them, much larger country for sure, I think is a full measure to them. And what I like about this tournament is you look at these teams that have currently probably in the Gold Cup position, and there are some standard bearers there, like Martinique is holding on to that 10th spot right now. Yeah. Obviously, the countries you'd expect to be there are there, but right now Bermuda is in a spot. Bermuda, the St. Kitts and Nevis, as I said, they're all in there. Teams that are mainstays at a Gold Cup like El Salvador are in danger of missing this thing, and this is a true measure, and it's a balancing point of what CONCACAF really looks like in terms of the strength, and that's the first time in a long time that I can remember looking at a CONCACAF rankings going, yeah, that makes sense. Canada's right now seventh, kind of in a dead heat with Jamaica, and that's probably fair.
It is.
Within the CONCACAF right now.
It is, and against Jamaica, it depends. It's a team in the top six that Canada can win against them sometimes, but that they do have a lot of offensive threat and a good goalkeeper, so you actually it's a difficult team to play against. And brings me to my other point. With the way it's actually unfolding now, Canada facing French Guiana. Canada with a win will qualify for League A of the CONCACAF Nations League, and then will play the likes of Mexico, United States, Jamaica, Panama, Honduras on a regular level, on a regular timetable, and you can measure yourself and you can learn and you can get a defeat that doesn't have too much ramifications to it and learn from it and get ready for when it's World Cup qualifier time in a year's time, in a year and a half time. So, yeah, it's going the way we wanted it to go, this Nations League so far for Canada, and some great performances by Canadian players too, I imagine.
Yeah, and look, it's everything you can ask for. And as you say, that the important thing is to get into that group. For those that don't know, real quickly to review the format, well, Canada has to finish in the top six of the Nations League qualifying, which is what happened right now. The top six teams joined the six teams that were in the hacks last time. So that, as a reminder, is Mexico, the United States, Costa Rica, Panama, Honduras, and Trinidad and Tobago. TNT is on like a rock right now, sinking in the ocean when it comes to the ranking. So that's the only team that is ranked below Canada that is in that top six automatically through. There are four groups of three. So you're guaranteed to basically draw one of Mexico, the United States, or Panama, Costa Rica, or Panama, which are the top four ranked teams, will be the highest seeds in that. You're going to get a home and home with them. So if you're a Canadian fan, I think you're praying for, I would like them to go down to Costa Rica or Panama or someplace like that where they have the option to, or they have that, they're being in Central America, they're being pushed. Mexico would be nice too. I'd like, as much as I'd like to see them play the United States when they're on a downswing to finally get that monkey off their back, I think it would be better off for Canadian fans to draw a Central American team for preparing themselves for a qualification.
I agree. And like we use the Honduras example often, but it's not just Honduras, Salvador or Panama team. Like a team that when you go in their country to play, there's fans with fireworks and drums making noise at 3 a.m. in the morning. We want players, the young players, to experience this as soon as possible so that it doesn't become a intimidating factor of an important international game. And that could happen with the Nations League if people realize that it's happening in those countries. And if their support gets together and they give us that environment, that hostile environment that we want to expose our players to, this is what we can ask for this tournament.
Yeah, and look, there'll be a little bit of pressure involved too, because Canada does not want to fall out of Group A, or League A, depending on how you put it, because then you're back to playing St. Kitts and Nevis and the Dominican Republic and countries like that, which is no offense to them. It's just not how you're going to get better by playing those teams. They're going to get better by playing each other, so hopefully the whole region gets raised. But in the initial point, you're going to want to stay up in that Group A, and it's a thin rise. Look at UEFA. We'll talk about UEFA in a minute. The teams that have gone down are insane. So,
yeah.
And Canada could very well, like 1 year after that, could if they get a bad draw, you know, let's say they draw Mexico and they get, they'll probably be in Pot B based on the ranking, but they could get another, the Pot C team could be a strong team that they struggle with, and then suddenly they're going back down and they're back playing St. Kitts. And you just don't want that. I mean, hell, St. Kitts might make a league right now. We'll have to see how that works. But
Yeah,
and the other great thing about this too is like looking down, the same as UEFA, and a lot of people have taught this, and we're repeating ourselves a little bit. But look, we joke about the Saint Martin derby of doom. But it's benefiting these teams to play each other because, and Turks and Caicos got their first ever international win against the Saints and the Grenadines. So I mean, there's lots of good stuff that happens in these tournaments. Dominica, Cayman Islands, these are countries that are really struggling normally, but they'll be playing each other, and that's going to benefit them, just like in UEFA, as we're seeing in the League D, how those teams playing each other has created Gibraltar getting wins and things like that. And I think that's good for the game.
Yep, and you know what's good for CONCACAF too is there's always something happening watching CONCACAF games. Always something. A bad TV commercial, a bakery that is more popular in Canada than it ever was in its own country, Phillips Bakery down on Lower Fifth. Remember that?
Yeah, but by the library.
By the library. Yeah, man. You can't teach that. And you had, as well, Benny, a hardware store that's very popular too. And last night was a cat. It was the little kitten next to the ambient microphone that was next to the pitch. There's apparently was a cat next to it. They're probably rubbing himself on the thing. He's like, oh, this is furry. I can get a little bit of a hug here. And meow, meow. I was like, what's going on? Canada scores. That cat must have got scared because it ran away and it hasn't appeared in the second half. But it's kind of fun. There's always a little something. Always a how can I say this? Something that is not expected happens during a Canada CONCACAF games and usually has nothing to do with the game itself.
And look, I have listened to interviews with players that aren't necessarily from CONCACAF that have heritage and they come over and play for Canada or the United States or whatever, and they're just aghast by what happens here. It's like hilarious to them. It's the most insane. They can't even comprehend it if they came out of a different system, right? Like CONCACAF is its own unique animal in every way. Because you don't expect it, because you think CONCACAF, you think you're coming into America. Well, you're coming into America, all right, but you're coming into Central America, you're coming into the Caribbean, and there's a lot of change from top to bottom in this region, and it's always an adventure playing in it. And that's people that aren't aware of CONCACAF qualifying look down their nose at it, but it's as tough as anyone, for not necessarily the quality of play, but the challenges you have to face. And the cat's cute, but it speaks to the overall challenges. Could you imagine at the new camp there being a damn cat on the field? No.
Well, that right? cat doesn't last 5 minutes. It's taken out the back, and you know what's going to happen to it, right? It's not the same here. And more seriously, though, the hotel accommodations are not necessarily all the best in those small places. The training facilities or the lack thereof, the transportation with roads that would not even be called roads. We think Montreal has bad roads. Go somewhere in the middle of a mountain in the Caribbean and talk to me about the roads in Montreal. You'll see they're not that bad. So, no, there's a lot of risk or there's a lot of unknown involved with going down to CONCACAF and playing, which is why the 1-0 really didn't faze me. And when I saw Atiba jump to the stratosphere to head that ball to the near post and score his 7th goal for Canada off a Russell Tybert cross, I was like, yeah, that's what's needed. A 1-0 goal, we kept a clean sheet, it's good for me.
Well, the clean sheet is, again, I don't think that the SKN gave much going forward, particularly. There was a couple incidences, I think, particularly early in the game where they looked like they might be a little frightening on the counter. But
the play that got Piet is a yellow card. If Piet did not stop that player at that moment, he would have come maybe all alone towards Milan Borjan. So Piet had to do it, but yeah, you're right.
Yes, but other than that, I think the fitness advantage really came into play in the second half. That's, you know, we see it on the women's side too, and I don't know whether we'll talk about the under-17s or not, but that's, to me, been their biggest difference at that, if you want to talk about them quickly now, is the fitness advantage, and they have it on the men's side too. These guys don't train as much, right? They're not in the same professional environments, so they're fitter. So you have to take advantage of that, and you have to move into games later. And in the past, I'm not sure Canada did, whether that was tactical naivety or what, but they sort of didn't have to take advantage of their physicality as much as maybe they should have, and I'm sort of seeing that more now. We've been spoiled with the goals recently, and that's not something I've ever thought I might ever say about a Canadian national team, but we had been.
13 in 3 games, and we conceded 0. That's insane. Only Haiti has a better differential than Canada, which is equal to a couple other teams, with plus 13. Haiti a plus 16, but no goals conceded. That's not too bad.
Yeah, well, Canada's one of only, I'm looking just wrote down the standings here, one of only
four teams. Four teams that have 9 wins so far. And three of those have 13 goals plus differential and not conceded. And then there's 80 with the 16, which was, it's a bit padded by their first win, was like 10-0 or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, well, precisely. And look, if Canada wants, if you really are value the idea of winning this stage, then they're on good stand to do it, because not only have they had the plus 14 right now, they have a weak touch at home to finish this thing. A weak touch at home in March. A Caribbean team is coming to Canada in March to play soccer outside. So
players will be like, can we play with a toque? Can we play with a hat and gloves? Is this in the rules? Nah.
Yeah. No, so there's no reason to think they're not going to get the full 3 points out of that game. And, you know, you would have to think that there's a chance that they could roll one on that. And if they do, even if they can, you know, get a three difference in the goal diff, they're probably going to win the overall standings, because the second tiebreaker after goal differential is away goals. And Canada currently has 9 away goals. And that's why they're ahead of Cuba in the standings right now. So look, I mean, it doesn't matter whether they're first or second. It only matters if they're top six. What they say on Friday, just don't finish last, and yep. Last is seventh in this case. So yeah, it's the same thing. But you know, we all like to see a number one beside a Canadian soccer team at any point, right?
Because we're not used to it. Just before we move on to the U-17 Women's World Cup for a second, two players that I watched carefully in that game, of course, Baru Tabla, his second game for Canada, and Samuel Piette making a return after being on the bench the first two games. Samuel Piette in the midfield, he brought to this game what he does well with the Montreal Impact, which is being the sentinel in front of the defense, being the first launching pad for the offense too. A few great passes to Atiba and to Junior Hollette that almost led to goals here by Samuel Piette. And of course, when he's needed, when he sees that, yeah, I just got beat and my defenders are out of position, the guy's running past me, all right, I'm taking you down, I'm getting the yellow card, sacrificing myself for the team, stopping an opportunity of goal scoring for the other team. I was really happy with Samuel Piette yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. And look, as much as we like to talk about the forwards, and they are exciting for sure, what I'm most excited about this team is that depth they have in midfield right now. You look at Piette, you throw in guys that were injured and not there right now, like Marc-Anthony Kay and Jonathan Rosario, and then you add in the veteran presence of Atiba Hutchison, only 20 caps. You think he can get 20 more caps? He was his 80th cap yesterday. Maybe.
Well, there's going to be more games, so it's not going to take as long as before with the Nations League, so there's that.
Well, yeah, Canada should play. They didn't play many competitive games this year, but they next year with the Gold Cup, if they could get 4 or 5 games in that, a couple games to warm up for that, and then you've got the 6 games in the Nations League, if he sticks around for qualifying, then he should get it there, and that would be a nice little thing. I don't believe we have any Centurions on the Nations League. It's Paul Stalteri is the all-time Caps leader off the top of my head right now, but yeah, it'd be a nice little honor for him, and certainly Captain Canada, who was onside 10 years ago, is fully deserving of that. We'll never let it go, ever. For those that are listening in from the United States, I'm sorry, but we do have so little. We will never let it go.
We have so little. Let us have that one.
Yeah, and retroactively give us a final appearance. We'll even take the silver. We'll say Mexico beat us in the final. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. And just on Baru Tabla, you know, what we don't see often is that flair, that confidence on the ball to make maybe 12 step overs in a row before going into the box and curling it in to a team or something. And we saw that with Baru a few times, Davies, of course. But it's kind of fun to see that different play by Canadian players of not just doing the easy or the high probability play, but trying to shake a defender off of him with skills, with technique. I kind of liked it. Yeah, sometimes it's overboard. Sometimes it's too much. Sometimes you do one or two step overs too much and the guy has time to take the ball away from you. But I'd rather see that than not try. And I kind of like what I saw from Baru once again.
Yeah, well, they grew up playing FIFA, you know. Those tricks and that are just part of what they do. There's a bravado amongst the Canadian players right now that I've never really seen before. And I mean, here, I'll go to my social media. I made a joke, kind of a joke, sort of a joke, that when I was watching the Americans lose badly to England, that we should get on the damn phone and book a friendly with them right now while they're on down, because we need to get that monkey off our back.
Yeah,
and
a lot of people like that one, and even actual players.
Yeah, so that's to say that. Well, you can go back and look at my likes on that one. One of the current national team pool member decided to like that tweet. So that's a little bit of bravado, which is nice to see.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of bravado, U-17 Women's World Cup got their second win in the weekend in the group stage 2-0. Now they're already qualified for the quarterfinals, and they're playing their last game of the group stage Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Pacific. Canada's going to a quarterfinals, Dwayne, in the Women's World Cup. And the way it's looking, you never know. Sky's the limit.
Yeah, look, I mean, I find this a remarkable story so far. And, you know, they haven't allowed a goal. That's nice. I mean, they, you know, arguably should have against Colombia, as we talked about last week. But they didn't. And
Because the bar. Hashtag the bar.
The bar has been the player of the tournament. Look, they've clinched the spot. They have a game against Spain, which a draw will see them top the group. If they top the group, they will then likely be playing either North Korea or the United States in the crossover game in the quarterfinal. That's not going to be an easy game, but I think that really they've accomplished a lot already with this team, and they're playing with a spirit and a joie de vivre that is really nice to see. I am enjoying watching that tournament a lot, and it has to do with that. And again, it's maybe me changing my outlook on it. I'm not focusing on the development problems that I do see in the country. I'm focusing on the fact this is a World Cup, and it should just really be about the results, because this is the pinnacle of a lot of these young women's lives, and like sporting lives anyway, right? And
yeah.
We can't lose sight of that. And if they can get to a quarterfinals, then hell, once you get there, you never know, as you say. Because if they win that game, then suddenly it's wide open. They're on a very wide open side of the bracket. They will be, I suspect, the underdog in that. The North Koreans, for those that don't know, are very powerful at the youth level. They've won this competition twice already, which is pretty remarkable considering the competition has only been going on for a decade.
Twice is what, three times? So two out of the three are North Korean champions.
It's not a soft touch, and we all understand what Germany or the United States would mean. And Cameroon's still in there with the shout too, because there have been some upsets in this tournament on in Group C. So fun stuff. And the Heidemann red card is what a lot of people were talking about after. I think it was a really poor call, but it's happened. I think if you're Canada, you look at that as just an advantage to give her a rest and get her ready for the quarterfinals.
That's what I say, because Ryan Wilkinson, the coach, would not have rest her because she's your best player. You don't rest Wayne Gretzky in the third game, right? So you don't rest, Wayne Gretzky, because it's an easy example. You don't rest Landon Donovan if you're the 2000 San Jose Earthquakes, right? You play the guy because you need that best player. You don't rest Christine St. Clair in a World Cup. Well, Jordan Heinema is a Christine St. Clair of this team, so that she would not have been rested. She would have played 90 minutes in the third game just to make sure Canada gets that result. Now with that red card, she's going to rest. She's going to be a bit not happy about it, and she's going to come out firing in the quarterfinals. So I'm not against that.
Yeah, I can't see them adding a game to it, because it's most absolutely the very most charitable thing you can say about it is that it wasn't intentional. I think that what you should be saying about it is it's just a poor call. The Korean girl came from behind, essentially headbutted her elbow. I don't know what the hell you're supposed to do if you're Heidemann in that particular case, but regardless, it's happened. They're not going to overturn it because they don't want to betray the referees, but they certainly, I don't think, will add anything to it, because there's no malicious there. There's no intent to injure. There's nothing like that. They're just saying, I guess the referee's call in the field would have been that she created a dangerous situation by putting her elbows up. But again, she's being tugged by the one Korean. She's being fouled herself. And anyway, it's a bad call. But and she scored a remarkable goal just before that little looping center. I think she actually did mean that. So she's a very talented player, Heidemann thing, and I think that she is really in line to have a very long and successful career for the Canadian national team. I think she has a chance to finish her career, because she's so young right now, as I don't think she's going to touch Sinclair's records, but she might draw in Hooper or cut near the top of that scoring chart. There would be less goals in women's football moving forward. That's why I don't think she'll touch Sinclair, but she does certainly have the talent. She might even be more talented than what Christine Sinclair was at her age, because she is so young. She's just 16.
Hopefully she has the same longevity that Christine St. Clair. That's all we can hope for at this moment. Before we say goodbye for today, we'll talk about the UEFA Nations League for a little quick more moment. Interesting results in the UEFA Nations League. Dwayne, England come from behind win to beat Croatia. It's a revenge of last year's semifinal. Well, this year's semifinal in the World Cup, where Croatia beat England to make it to the World Cup final. England 2, Croatia 1. There's a lot of weird result, though. But England 2, Croatia 1. England will probably... Well, England won that group. England's going to the semifinal of League A of the UEFA Nations League.
Football's coming home-ish.
Well, they actually played the song. They played the song at Wembley after the game.
Look, I was listening to a lot of most English fans, for lack of all jokes aside, are pretty aware that this doesn't mean a whole lot in the grand scheme of things, although it doesn't mean nothing either. I think it is an indication that the momentum that they had in the summer, where they did overachieve, I think, a little bit, is fair to say. They probably went a step further than they most would have expected, or even the most optimistic people would have expected in Russia. A lot of that had the fact that they got Sweden in the quarterfinals, which allowed them to advance, and no one expected that. But nonetheless, they've taken that momentum and they continue to build on it. And that's, I think, a really valuable thing. And what a whirlwind of a game. They went from being relegated with minutes to go to winning the group. So it is kind of a fun competition. And if they do, they have advanced. If there is a possibility that the semifinals, and can you imagine this? If no one would have picked this at the start, might be the Netherlands, Switzerland, Portugal, and England might be the final four teams playing for the championship. And the championship is going to be all played over a weekend, I believe. I'd have to look that up 100%, but it's a little mini tournament. It's in Portugal, so the Portuguese will have to be hopeful. I bet you that the semi-retired international Cristiano Ronaldo would make a comeback for that. So that should be fun to watch. It's a fun competition overall.
Semifinals and the final draws are December 3rd. The semifinals themselves are on Wednesday, June 5th, and Thursday, June 6th. And the final of the Nations League is Sunday, June 9th, next year. So those are the dates to remember for the final of the UEFA Nations League. Another result, Dwayne, that was very surprising. Switzerland 5, Belgium 2, and it was Belgium 2-0 at that moment. Stiferovic from Switzerland decided to score his first when it was 2-2. So it was 2-1, Switzerland, he scored 2-2. Then he goes in front of the Belgium Cup, and he's like, yeah, it's over. It's over. And then he scores two more, and Belgium wins 5-2. Switzerland wins 5-2. Yeah, and a lot of surprises in this Nations League.
Yeah, no, and it's been such a joy, I think. And I think there are other side outside of Jurgen Klopp's the world, almost universally, this has been seen as a positive development for the game in Europe. And it really, as much as we're talking about the top teams, and they're certainly going to be fun, and that little mini tournament, I think, is something that will get a lot of eyeballs and make UEFA a lot of money, and that's part of the mission here. But as long as that money trickles down a little bit to that Group D and helps benefit them moving forward, then great. I mean, I love the Group D stuff, like Malta and Faroe Islands. Faroe Islands get a win, you know, like, we're finding out who the worst team in Europe is, and it's San Marino.
Yeah, because Belarus beat San Marino 2-0. Moldova Luxembourg 1-1 yesterday. Yeah, that's the type of meta matchups you see. Estonia beat Greece 1-0. So by transposition mathematics, Estonia is the winner of the 2004 Euro, apparently.
There you go. And just for those that don't know, the teams that advanced from League D are Georgia, Belarus, Kosovo, which is a fun little story there too, and Macedonia. So those are your four winners that have been promoted from League D. The League C, if you care, it looks like it will be either Israel or Scotland coming through, depending on the results of that game. Finland gets advanced. Norway goes up because they did it on Goldef. Serbia is going up. And finally, we might as well just go quickly through it. In Group B, you have Ukraine advancing into the top group to play the top teams. Russia, which looks so good in the summer, and you can judge the reason why if you want. But anyway, they have advanced to Ligue A. Bosnia-Herzegovina, they are going up to Ligue A, and they will be joined by Denmark. So that's who's going to go up next year.
And Germany has been relegated from Ligue A. What a terrible 2018 for Germany.
Yeah, and Blow's got to go. I mean, at this point, you can't imagine. I mean, I know the League of Nations is not – it's going to be on the list of priorities. It's somewhere beneath what, you know, the Capital One Cup would be in England. But it's still a further indication that something has gone wrong in a program that looked invincible just less than 5 years ago. So I think there's probably going to be a movement at their coaching position and some changes in philosophy, because the Germans they're not very chill about stuff things generally, so I suspect we'll see some changes there soon.
I'm going to go there. So is this a low point for Germany?
Yeah, well, you know.
On that note.
Yeah, on that note, tip your server.
I'm here all week, folks. You can follow Dwight on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larame. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of The World of Football with a Soccer Perspective. Soccer Today at Soccer Today SPN, live on social media during shows too. So if you want to see my face and Dwight's face at Soccer Today SPN, we have the show live for you when we are live. And until next time, as always, you can give us a pledge. You can give us some support at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month will give you a bonus show every week of the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, where Dwayne and I talk about Canadian soccer and Canadian soccer only. The Canadian Premier League, Canada men's national team, women's national team, women's World Cup, men's World Cup, and everything in between in the beautiful game north of the 48th. And until tomorrow, as always, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Larame. Have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.